And so he's talking about rivers of water coming out of us, a fountain, a well within us, as we talked about Sunday morning. But if you just look at this scripture, you'll think, all I got to do is believe on the Lord, as the scripture has said, and not really know what the scripture has said. And there'll be many people come up in that last day and say, Lord, Lord, didn't we do all these things in your name? Did we not cast out devils? And did we not heal the sick? And we did all this in your name. And he'll say to them, depart from me. I never knew you. You knew of me, but I didn't know of you. And my name will work anywhere. And so we need to understand that just because we many times people think because they can speak in tongues, quote unquote, I'm still saved. I'm still good. Look, I still speak in tongues. And you can be living in sin and speaking in tongues and get a false sense that I'm okay. That is not a certificate, as Brother Valentine says, to heaven. It is not. It doesn't even let you know anything because you don't even understand it. And many times what happens is you can get caught up in tongues and it deceives you. I love to speak in tongues, especially at my camp. I like to speak to tongues. The lizards are hearing me and the frogs are hearing me, and I don't have to worry about anybody. I'm just speaking to God. But we have to be careful that we don't deceive ourselves. If you deceive yourself, you become a reprobate. And you're twice dead and plucked up by the roots. All right. I want to read this parable to you. Oh, I got to hurry. Teaching time always goes fast to me. Mark 4 and 10. This is the most important parable in the Bible. I do not have time to get everything out of it. I'm going to hit some highlights. And when he was alone, there were about with him, with the 12, ask of him the parable. He tells the parable. We call it the parable of the sower. It probably be a good parable called the parable of the ground, but it was called the parable of the sower by ministry. And he said unto them, unto you it is given to know what? The mystery, the finer things, the hidden things, the things that the world will read this and not understand it. The world will hear it and they won't know what it means. I am giving this to you to know the finer things in the Bible, to know the mystery of the kingdom of God. But unto them that are without, all these things are done in parables. Why? Because I want you to search it out. I want you to ask me. I want you to pull me to the side and say, what does that mean? That seeing they may see and not perceive. They're going to see it. They're going to hear it. And in hearing may hear and not understand, lest at any time they should be converted and their sins should be forgiven them. He said, I'm not going to expose this to people that don't seek it. I'm not just going to make it. I'm going to give you a seed. And the orchard is in the seed. And you have to plant the seed, water the seed, cultivate the seed, and do all the finer things to get the fruit. I'm not just going to give you the fruit. The world just wants the fruit. Oh, here's the keys. Fine. I'll just take the keys. Here's the orchard. Okay, good. I'll just take the orchard. But honey, that's not how it works. He gives you a seed. He's letting us know the word of God is merely seeds. The oak tree is in the acorn. It will become an oak tree if you do the finer things. Verse 13, and he said unto them, know ye not this parable? Then how will ye know all parables? So this lets us know by reading this, this is the most important parable in the entire Bible. So I would start with this one and understand this one. The sower soweth the word, or the word of God. So we got to really quick learn, who is the sower? Well, I'm going to tell you who the sower is, the one that knows the word of God. You can't sow what you don't know. You can't give what you don't have. So the sower is the people that know the word of God. He gave seed to the sower. How many of you want to sow? Sure you want to sow. Well, you're going to sow by studying the word of God. That's how you're going to sow. I think all of you, husbands and wives, if you're alone or with your kids, all of you need to have Bible study at least once a week in your home. At least once a week. Just you and your wife. Hello. Is that asking too much to know more about Christ? and teach your kids. See, what's happening, we live in a generation they want the church to do everything. And we can't possibly get everything into these kids at 45 minutes. It's impossible. It takes that long to get them corralled down. And then they go to sleep. You've got to do the job, moms and dads at home, to teach these kids. Verse 15. And these are they by the wayside. Study that out. You'll find the wayside was where the wagons traveled and people walked, and it was a hard piece of ground. It could have been fertile, but it never was plowed. It was trampled on. It was very open and very vulnerable to the things of the world, where the word is sown. But when they had heard, Satan cometh immediately and taketh away the word that was sown in their heart. So we're learning something here, that these are people. You're the sower. Don't miss this ending point. I'm going to work you up to it. You're the sower, and you're sowing seed. He didn't say, now, if you see that look like it's not going to take, don't throw it. It's not what he says. He's telling us to sow the seed everywhere. And I'm going to show you this in the end. Everywhere you're going to sow the seed. But he said, I want to warn you something, that when you sow the seed on people's hearts, their ground is hard, then they're real vulnerable. And so in another parable of this same thing, said the birds came and took it up. There was no protection or anything. You know what the birds are? They're in the air, right? They're the prince. They're the prince of the air. Satan. See how you put that together? They're the prince of the air. They're the ones that see, got eagles on, and go down there and pick it up. I can go to feed the deer, and when I go get my deer blind, Brother Dennis, I'll take some corn with me. The crows always find it before the deer do. Those crows can be passing over, and they go, peck, peck, peck. And then they call all their buddies over there. I'm like, get my corn. Quickly. They don't have to dig it up. You know, they don't have to scratch. It's just the word of God just laying out there. But their heart, the where I sowed it, did not take. And the bird, just, it's gone. Just as soon as you can tell them that Christ will save them, it's gone. He'll forgive your sins. Oh, that's good. Nice to know. And they're back at it again. Okay. Satan steals away the word out of their heart. They're real vulnerable, easy to steal from. And these are they likewise, which are sown into stony ground, who, when they have heard the word, immediately receive it with gladness. Now, I'm going to shock you when I tell you this. See, these are people that are receiving God. The word is God. Is it not? I mean, the word was made flesh, and the word is God. So these people, you need to understand that to understand the parable. These are people that have received God. We call it the Holy Ghost. That's what he's trying to teach us. These are people that you sow into. They have received me. Some of it's going to fall upon ground and is quickly gone. Others upon this stony ground, and they receive it with gladness. Emotional people. Many people get the Holy Ghost in hype. Hype. Just call it what it is. It's hype. And in the middle of hype, They do receive something. But it goes on to say, because they have no roots. They got it with gladness. Boy, they're happy about it. They're crying and smiling at the same time. But they never had no root to get there. These are they that receive the Holy Ghost in a very jubilant, emotional way. And that's fine if you got roots. They have no roots in themselves, and so endure but for a time. See, you missed it right there. You missed it already. They have no roots in themselves. It didn't say they have no roots in the Word of God, or they have no roots in church. These are people that are already unstable. These are the double-minded people that are unstable in all their ways. They're not rooted to anything. They're not stable. Brother Chris was looking at some fruit trees trying to get some advice from me, and I gave him what little bit I know. But what I did tell him, it was looking at one in a pot. And the first thing he did is he pulls out this great big one in the pot. Big, tall one. He said, boy, this one looks better than the other. I said, brother, I'm going to tell you from experience, that thing's root bound. It looks pretty in the pot. It looks better than the others. But let me tell you, it's already stunted. I'd take that little bitty one in that pot and outgrow you. And that's what happens in the church. People get so bound up and they get root bound from things that happened 50 years ago, and they're so root bound they won't ever spread their roots out and realize that and grow in God. You got to spread your roots out. The history or the agriculture will tell you that if the roots don't spread out, it better spread out as far as the leaves and the limbs go, or else it'll fall over very easily. And so these are people that receive the word of God with gladness, but their life has never had roots. Look at the history. And so endure, but for a time. Afterward, when the affliction and persecution arise from the word's sake, immediately they are offended. People that get offended and leave a church have no roots. They have no roots. If any of y'all offend me, I'm not leaving. I'll wait you out. I'm not going anywhere. If you don't teach the word, I'm not with you. But if you teach the word, I'm staying. I may have to sit over there and you sit over there, but I'm not leaving. I got roots. I'm staying. And so people many times have a history of not enduring affliction. As soon as the hardship comes, they're gone. And that's what happens in living for God. That's their life history. They come into this knowledge of the truth. They receive it with gladness, but give them a little while, the affliction comes. There's a pattern in their life. Then verse 18. These are they which are sown among the thorns, such as hear the word. Okay? Such as hear the word. Okay? Faith comes by hearing, and hearing the word of God. So these are people that have some faith, and they hear the word. But they've got some thorns. Let's see what are the thorns. And the cares of this world. Okay. What can the cares of this world? Name me a care of the world quick, somebody. What's the care of this world? Too much fishing. Too much hunting. Too much what? Stuff. Things. Got a brand new car. Can't come to church. I got to polish it. Okay. You find all these cares. And the deceitfulness of riches and the lust of other things enter in. Choke the word. I don't have time to go to church. I'm not reading my Bible. I'm not praying anymore because I don't have enough time. Baloney. You do what you want to do. You take time for what you want to take time for. But they let these things choke out the word. These triplets, the cares, the deceitfulness, and the lust will strangle out the word of God to where it says you will never be fruitful. You may come to church and you may be hit and miss, but you'll never be fruitful. In other writing, he said, never bring fruit to perfection. Never edible. Never good for the kingdom of God. My. It's like I've preached before. It's like tying a band around a little tree. Take me a tree sapling about that big around. Put a good hard band around it and let it grow. Well, you know what's going to happen? It won't last long. It's going to want to swell, and it's going to swell around this, and that constricts it. See, what chokes it out is your growth. you missed that. When you try to grow, this stayed the same size. So when you was the world, you did that. The cares of this life and the deceitful and rich. You did all those things, but loose the band. Loose the band, and it won't choke the tree. Because the tree wants to grow. Who doesn't want to grow in Christ? But if you don't loose the band, it will choke you. You actually choke yourself. Okay. So these three things will choke you. I'm telling you, if you show me somebody that's full of lust, and I'll show you somebody that's easy to deceive. That's right. You show me somebody that's got pride, I'll show you somebody that's going to fall. Verse 20. And these are they which are sown on good ground, such as hear the word and receive it and bring forth fruit, some 30-fold, some 60-fold, and some 100. My God, they just keep producing. They just keep going. You give them another task, they'll say, I can do that too, Pastor. I can do this. I can do this. And you, they can't get enough of the word of God. The prayer room's open. Lord, they're in there. Let me do it. You know, they just so into it. You hear what I said? They're so into it. So you didn't. They're so into it. They can't get enough of. And the Lord said, you with that one talent, you didn't do nothing with it. Give it to him that's got five because he got 10. He'll get me 10 more. You see? You understand how this thing works? People want all the promises of God, but they don't pay attention to the fine print. Not quite through yet. The Bible says, Paul said, for us to be rooted and grounded in the love of Christ. Rooted is one thing. Grounded is another thing. Did you understand what I'm saying? When I told Brother Chris about planting that plant, he said, well, what should I do? Dig a hole and plant in there? I said, brother, it's more than dig a hole. Get ready. Come July, you wish you hadn't planted some stuff. But when you dig a hole to plant a plant, the instructions, if you read them, will say, dig it twice as big as the pot is. Twice as deep, twice as big around. And stake it. See, it's got roots. It's not grounded. Do you understand that? It's got roots. It's not grounded. Stake it until it is grounded. If you stake it, it will get grounded. And I'm here to tell you, find where you want to be and put that stake in the ground and you'll get grounded. I mean, you'll get rooted. But if you don't stake it, you won't get rooted. Little wind come, you'll come over. Am I teaching you anything tonight? Then he goes on. Now, this is where it really gets good. And he said unto them, is a candle brought? You see, he's going to give them a really good example. Is a candle brought to be put under a bushel? Now, he's going to relate this to this parable. Or under a bed? In other words, concealed? And not to be set on a candlestick? Did I not give you the seed to sow? Are you going to say, well, they won't receive it. I'm no need wasting my time with them. For there is nothing hid which shall not be made manifest. All the fine print's coming out. You're going to understand this thing as we go along. Neither was anything kept in secret. See, the mysteries were given to us, but that it should come abroad. If any man have ears to hear, let him hear, meaning let him understand what he heard. And he said unto them, take heed what ye hear, or how ye hear, for what measure ye meet or give out shall be measured to you, and unto you that hear shall be given, shall more be given. Wow. I know when, in being an employer, when I find someone has conquered that task, I got another one for you. You conquer the next, I got another one for you. But if you don't conquer A, no need to go to B. Same thing in living for God. Same thing. For he that hath, to him shall be given. Wow. And he that hath not, from him shall be taken even that which he hath. Another writing says, seemeth to have. Because you really don't have it. It's his. Now, here's where we go into the conclusion of this parable. It's right here. Five more minutes. Verse 26. Because if you just teach what I've just taught you and you just go over the parable, you have not fully understand what he's trying to tell us. And he said, this is all in the same passage of Scripture, verse 26. And he said, so is the kingdom of God. As if a man should cast seed into the ground. Which ground? Any ground. I gave you four of them. And he should sleep and rise night and day, meaning goes on about his business. And the seed should spring and grow up, he knoweth not how. My mom has called that the unconscious harvest. You plant it and you go about your life. And you go about, if you need me, let me know. I'm there to help you. But you just got to go on. I'm throwing the seed. And you go about your life. You go to sleep and you get up. And you know what? It's growing or it's not going to grow. I'm trying to show you something here. It's either going to grow or it's not going to grow. The seed that hit the wayside, what are you going to do to make it grow? Tell me what you're going to do. Tell me how you're going to make that grow. You can't. And this is what this parable is getting to. For the earth bringeth forth fruit of herself. Whoo, see, that's it right there. You sow the seed, it's the earth that makes it. It's the earth. And it brings forth fruit of herself. You ever heard of a voluntary watermelon vine. Anybody know what that is? I know, brother. You know what it is. Brother Van Winkle does. A voluntary watermelon is one when you've already eaten the major melon of the season, when they come into season. And you get the seeds and, you know, you spit them back into the rind or whatever you do with them, or have a speed sitting spitting contest or whatever you do. And you take it and you just throw it into the field. And lo and behold, a few weeks later, you see this little plant come up and it starts running and you know what? You'll get some fall melons out of that. And you didn't do anything but throw the seed. That's all you did. It is God that gives what? The increase. You can't make. See, this is the conclusion. You can't make people live for God. That is the conclusion of this parable. You can sow the seed, but you're not in control of the earth. And while you go about your business, it's either going to grow or it's not going to grow. I can't make you get rid of the thorny thing, care of this life. You got to get rid of that. But when the fruit is brought forth, verse 29, whoo, thank the Lord, immediately he put forth the sickle because the harvest is come. See, he that winneth souls is what? He's wise. How are you going to win souls? Making them live for God? That's not how you win them. No, sir. Is the old saying, you can drag a horse to the water, you try to make him drink it. Same thing in living for God. You cannot make people live for God. You cannot do it. And so he's telling us, and you can relate this. See, if you don't understand this one, you won't understand the rest of them. Then he goes on and says, the kingdom of God is likened to a net cast into the sea. Well, I've never had a net that catched just shrimp. It catches beer cans, soft shell crabs, hard shell crabs, croakers, and hard heads. I've caught a lot of hard heads. Hallelujah. It's not for me to determine what it catches. I can't make you catch shrimp only. Or you understand what I'm trying to tell you? So when you, it's your job to witness. It's your job to sow the seed. He gives seed to the sower. But you can't sow what you don't know. So this parable, in essence, means I give you a light to shine it. I give you seed to sow it. But the light come from me. The increase come from me. The earth is going to bring it forth or it ain't going to bring it forth. Pardon my English. It is or it ain't. And that's up to God. Now, do you understand this parable? The fine print of your Bible is so important, because you can get so discouraged. You can mess people up trying to make them live for God. You can mess them up. The Bible says to not be angry with your children lest you turn them out of the way. You can be so angry at, David, I get so angry at you that you finally say, well, I'm leave home, Daddy. That's what I'm going to do. I'm just going to leave home. I don't care if I ever see you again. And believe me, I've had to deal with that before, not with him, but with other parents and people. Why? Because they turn them out of the way. And the same thing can happen in living for God. If you're not careful, brother, I'll grab you by the neck. If you don't get your life straight, brother, you're headed straight to hell. Do you know that? And turn you out of the way. But if I be compassionate with you, I got a chance. And say, brother, I understand what you're going through. Been there, done that myself.